All right, here we go. We're back with another weekly helping of Mint Sauce Chronicles. This is sheep farm number 167, I do believe, Chris. 167.
320 hours of my life talking to you.
Yeah, ruined. The format is simple. We try and release a minimum of 4 shows a month, although we do a few more. Members get a full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one. And all new shows are released on Saturdays. And if you subscribe to the website, not join as a member, you will get an email saying there's a new show out. But it doesn't really matter if you don't do that, because there's always a new show out on Saturdays on sheepfarm.co.uk. Podcasts are always available there. We put part one on Podomatic, that send them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Google Podcasts, Apple, and a few others. And yeah, that's the basis of what we do. Thanks for all the comments, emails, and DMs to Instagram, which our large nostrilled secretary answers.
You said DMs?
Direct messages.
All right. Didn't know what that
Come on, Chris, get with it. Even I know what a DM is. You thought of mainly Doc Martens, didn't you?
I did think you were talking about Doc Martens.
You're thinking of that 18-year-old Doc Martin by that National Front guy on top of your head, aren't you?
I've got that Doc Martin bag, Dr. Martin bag, Dr. Right. Martin's bag.
Right. And Seb used to work for Doc Martens.
Yeah, he did.
He did at one point, didn't he?
Yeah. I bought loads
he
of stuff.
He worked there so he could get some docs, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I think he did.
Did I remember?
Yeah. I've got a DM rucksack. I love it. I've had it for about 7 years. I've got a bottle of wine here, a bottle of Shiraz.
What we're drinking tonight?
Bottle of Shiraz.
Shiraz.
Yeah.
Australian Shiraz. Shiraz doesn't sound very French or Spanish.
Australian, this is.
Or Australian.
Sounds more
African or Middle Eastern.
I won't actually claim I know any. I've got much knowledge about wine, thanks.
Yeah. It does sound like Middle Eastern, though, doesn't it? Or African. Shiraz.
Is it one at new... I don't know. I won't pretend I have any wine knowledge at all. Yeah. I know what I like, and that's it.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody who's ordered my vitamin C powder, vitamin C capsules. We've got new multivits and all. They're on there as well. They've got some other new products coming out soon as well. Remember, use the promo code. I'll put it in description. It's there. Give Sheep Farm listeners 25% off all products. Basically, means you get them about wholesale price. I've just been releasing soon another health podcast with nutritionist Claire Wilson about the mitochondria and our DNA and how it affects us and what's affecting it, etc. It's only going to be about 45 minutes. Try and keep these a bit shorter than what me and Chris do, because there's a lot of information there and I don't want to boggle people's heads. So I can already tell with the amount of work she's done on this and what she was telling me about that there's probably going to be at least two or three things going on. I want to talk about the membership, actually, not because I'm trying to sell the membership, because I'm not, but it's 2 years on now, Chris, can you believe it? And I just want to remind people, because we do get emailed, why you got members and why are you doing this? And the reason why we set that up was because we were getting, I call it pestered, asked, whatever you want to call it.
You're not the enemy, though.
Yeah, and I don't want donations, and I thought to head it off, we'll do something slightly different and do like what a lot of the guys in America do, and have a membership. And I think it's worked pretty well. People want to help to fund something to listen to. I do, and a member of Crow. You remember ISI Chats? Because I want to support them and I support other people as well. I just thought that would ease. Because of my commercial mind, I'm thinking, well, it's a product and you buy a product. That's how I think. I don't want to get something for nothing, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and we always agreed to make it cheap as possible.
Yeah.
And it's not a website, isn't it?
It's certainly not a money-making setup, i.e. where, yeah, it's not. If it were a business anyway, I wouldn't be getting involved in alternative conspiracy theories. There is no future, as we're going to talk about it a bit, actually.
What we kept it at £2 a month, so it's 50p a
however you want to work it out. Some people's it's a cup of coffee or this. Not I'm not interested in that. It's £2 a month, and if it's worth it, it's worth it. If it's not, just listen to the first hour, end of. Or yeah, most of them are an hour and a half, so it's not even an hour. But anyway,
we always said we'd be doing this if there were 20 people listening.
Well, I'll be doing this and the research that we're doing. We're just about to. We just recorded Huxley, next Huxley 7, which I'm calling Unnatural Selection. That's going to be about 2.5 hours. And I've tried to keep it down, and I've already added about 15 minutes onto it just by editing. In editing, you're meant to cut stuff down, and I've actually added more stuff to it. I don't know how that works, but I have.
Reverse editing.
Reverse editing, yeah. And so that's very interesting, the first one. And bear in mind, that one, when I wrote the actual research for it, that was only going to be one show. And I've had to cut it in half, so there's literally 5 hours. So we'll be on with recording the second part of that, and I've written another 5, I think. These things probably take me the last 6 or 7 months to put together, and then they start taking shape. So they're ticking away in the background, if you like, in between all other stuff that I end up doing. But anyway, just to let you know what we've been up to. 4 years on, Chris, more or less, from March 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we've had two of them days in our life, haven't we?
Yeah. 20 years apart.
9/11 and 91 Divock.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that? I had just before we go on, I had an interesting conversation with someone, just reminded me today. What was that Jewish girl who was in the walls in Amsterdam? There's a museum for her. Anne Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as an observation, I had an interesting conversation with one of the youngsters at work, and she said she was going to Amsterdam.
All right.
And I said, oh, I've been to Amsterdam because there's a massive Anne Frank museum there. Now, I'm not saying it's not true, the Anne Frank story, by the way. Mm. So don't attack me on that one. But it's just interesting that there's an Anne Frank museum there, and I said, I'm suspicious as to whether she existed. I'm not saying I know she didn't or anything. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. Because you've got to look at it, I think the fella who released the diary was a dad, and all the rest of the family, including her, ended up in a...
Perished
in the Holocaust. But looking at it with 2024 eyes, or 2020 eyes, you do have to be a bit suspicious, don't you? Because now in Amsterdam, and this young lass said, oh, but I read it. I said, how do you know it's true? I said, I'm not saying it isn't, but how do you know it's true? And she said, well, I read it at school. I said, well, everyone read it at school, like other books that we've discussed that get, you get told to read. Mm. So it's that important. And also, I've been to Amsterdam, and there's a massive Anne Frank museum, and they were queuing around the block to get in it, to be fair.
Mm.
So you can't deny that it's not a brass maker and an agenda propaganda machine. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I don't know at all. But it's either been utilized, or it was made up, possibly.
I think these things become, when I say things, I'm not trying to denounce if anybody's been killed or whatever, but these things become brands, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah, like Harry Potter, for argument's sake, at King's Cross.
Off's a brand.
Yeah, exactly. They're all brands.
And what was interesting then, Fatty, the conversation went on, and I said, well, if they can lie about us going to the moon, they can lie about someone getting, someone writing a diary. And she went, oh, the moon landing is definitely not real. I said, right, so you don't believe in the moon landing, but you believe in Anne Frank. If they can lie about the moon landing, they'd be possibly one of the biggest lies ever.
I just think processing the information, it is. You see people...
She reeled off a lot of stuff about the moon landing. That was, why it wasn't real, etc. She's like an 18-year-old. But then I said, yeah, but then they could have lied about that Anne Frank story as well. No, because I read a book about it at school. Well, it's interesting. It's just
I saw a news conference with Neil Armstrong.
It's just interesting how you can, where I suppose us and probably a lot of people listen to this, it's just everything's up for question. But it's just interesting how her mind went, the moon landing's a hoax, but that's...
Well, there's several parts, isn't there? They want you to believe that everything's controlled. So you've got to be careful to realise that probably not all of it's controlled as well. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean to say that some of it embellished and made into...
Utilised, yeah.
Bigger, yeah, and utilised. But I think that comes back to, what is the truth movement, for argument's sake? Because people, not everybody agrees, but that's all right. I mean, when we were talking to Dave last week, I saw comments on there saying, oh, black people were early Britons in America. I mean, I don't know. Sorry, in Britain. I don't know if they were or not. I haven't a clue. That's not my research. But when people listen to it on, say, our podcast, they automatically think we agree with everything every guest says, and they agree with everything we say because they're on our podcast. That's not the case. But that doesn't mean to say, this is his research, that's what he's looked at, and I haven't researched that, so I can't say whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. But 99% of what Dave says, I agree with.
But
you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whether you believe it or not, well, whatever.
I'm sure Mark Devlin listens to us and says, I don't agree with that, but then other stuff he does, and vice versa. But that's all right. Because the big question is, are we getting lied to? Yes. That's the big question. It doesn't matter how we get to that point of how we're being lied to. The fact is, and like, going back to that girl at your work, she's seen these things now. Let's just say there are 1,000 things that we're being lied about. She's seen 25 of them, for argument's sake. And then every day, a few lights will come on, won't there?
Well, I was quite happy to drop that little seed in her head before she went to see Anne Frank. Yeah. Just because you look at things with different eyes. I mean, I went to... we discussed it on here. I went to the Science Museum with our nipper. I've not been there for 20-odd years since Seb was little. And the difference in how I look at it now to when I did 20-odd years ago...
Yes.
...is you can't imagine. It's totally different. National History Museum, all these places.
Yeah.
I see it all as propaganda now, I'm afraid. Well, cynical and miserable, but it's not. I'm not cynical and miserable about it.
No,
it's just
observant.
It's just observing, and it's blatantly yeah. obvious.
It is blatantly obvious. And again, look at Mark's podcast he's done on the God question. And this is Mark's. Obviously, he's going on a direction at the moment that he's opening up in his own mind, you know?
We're all
on that path, you know, whether we like it or not.
Everything.
Exactly. Everything. You can't have dogmas.
Not tidbits.
Yeah. To me, the truth movement, that doesn't exist. That's my view of it all. It's all personal, is this. And if you've got dogmas, which you could say that girl, say, with... because she said she read it, something at school, that meant it were true. That's a dogma that we carry around with us, yeah? It's a cul-de-sac, because all of a sudden now that's the answer. Move on, nothing to see here.
But the positive side is that she's already questioning the moon landing.
Yeah, I'm being general there. I'm not sort of picking on that girl, but she's suggesting that she can see that there are lies in place. Because what's happening is we've been told not to trust or use our senses.
Well, when you go through that process... your instinct or any senses, but when you go through that process, it's just one after another, isn't it? Oh, dinosaurs, bollocks. Oh, this, oh, that, oh, that.
Oh, no, it's propped up by science. Don't use your senses. It's propped up by science.
I've not looked into the Anne Frank situation, for instance. Just my instinct tells me that there could possibly be, I'm not saying there is, because I don't know, some shenanigans there, because it's in every school. Talk to everybody. One person.
Trust us, the BBC. We lied to you about Jimmy Savile, but trust us.
And it's one person. You're talking about one person who did this thing, but for some reason we've all got to know about it.
Yes.
At school.
It becomes a brand. Maybe it is true, but I'll guarantee you there's a lot of embellishment of the story.
It's a brand. Where does all that Anne Frank brass, museum brass go? Where does all the Van Gogh museum
Well, in fairness, as we know, the money is there to pay the lower tier, I call them lower tier managers, if you like, and excite them in so they can, the successful peasants, give them a job at the Guardian and the Independent, 50 grand because they're an expert now at the whatever museum. And now they can get jobs everywhere and get paid from every direction, can't they? And then the gatekeeper, aren't they, of that particular whatever it is. The science means that you can't trust your senses. That's why they've brought that in. We're an expert. We'll tell you what's wrong with you, your health, your mind, everything. And you don't have a clue what you're thinking now. And
literally the new, I know it's been said before, but it's literally the new religion. Whereas in the old days, a priest told you something, even though he had no proof whatsoever. And that was it.
I mean, what was it we recorded with Aldous Huxley, one of his phrases? He says, technology will allow us to basically go backwards, to control us going backwards. That's what Aldous Huxley said in so many words. And that's what's happening. We're going backwards. We've got more technology now, but we're going backwards health-wise, intelligence-wise. everything.
We were talking about this at work, and we've talked about it here before, where, I mean, I work as a chef, obviously. A chef's not a chef anymore because most of the things, I mean, if you work somewhere that does a lot of fresh stuff, I mean, I know the high-end ones do, but if you work in, like, the posh pub world like I did, you know, you're fighting to keep everything fresh. Yeah. So you're not buying things.
Well, you imagine, Chris, right? A chef's not a chef. A mechanic's not a mechanic. Yeah. An electrician's not an electrician. Plumber's not a plumber.
Everyone just Googles.
A builder's not a builder. You know,
builders are still all right, actually. I think builders are still safe for a while.
Well, they're not masons, as in
stone carvers, are they?
No. I remember having an extension put on, and they were so chuffed they were using real Yorkshire stone.
Mm. Well, do you remember that?
They used Yorkshire stone as well, because they had to chip away at it and stuff like that.
You know that fireplace my dad had built in house when we were kids? And that was masoned in, wasn't it? Proper. Yeah. I'm going to get called Freemasons now, but I remember him chopping, carving the stone to put it in. I mean, that's old school. You're going back to 80s, but it still exists, doesn't it? But yeah, you're right, actually, because if you're building, you're just putting that Lego in it, I suppose, these days.
Well, all food,
you know, I live on an estate, all houses are fucking same.
People go to Tesco's or takeaways. We were driving through one of the villages, me and my wife, and when you used to drive through a village, there were all sorts of little shops, one of the haberdasheries and things like that. Mm. Now you drive through, and it's just full of takeaways. Mm. Takeaways, charity shops, pubs, right?
They've been destroying High Street forever, haven't they?
Yeah.
On the pubs.
But the amount of takeaways, going back to the 80s, I remember one takeaway in Marsh and maybe a Kentucky, right?
Cucina.
Yeah. Pizza Cucina.
That was the first time I'd known you could even get a pizza.
I didn't even know what a pizza was.
Yeah, it's true. I never had a pizza.
No.
Frozen pizza didn't exist.
No, nothing like
that.
And they
delivered the fucking thing. That was brilliant.
Yeah. I remember walking in and smelling it.
Oh, they were nice pizzas then, though.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that didn't exist. That literally did not exist until... Up north, obviously, we get stuff 10 years behind London and where have you, but it didn't exist. Even in London, it probably was 70s. In America, we're all over America. But so cooking at home has been taken away. So the skill of cooking at home, there was mainly the mother used to cook, but the father used to be able to cook as well, you know. I remember our dad used to tell us that because there was skin, they used to eat, when at Christmas, they used to eat pigeon because he used to go shoot them. So you shoot pigeon and eat pigeon. That's what they had for the Christmas dinner, because you can afford a turkey.
That's not a wild pigeon either in the wood, is it? It's eating bag ends at it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's one on roof. but yeah, these are... And also, Chris, going back to that, I was just talking about what Mark's podcast is done with the God question.
Yeah.
The art of debate has disappeared because now it's all about... People listen to us who aren't into what we're doing and say, you're opinionated. Yeah? I don't believe we're opinionated because I'm open to every suggestion there is. Yeah, I've got my stuff that I'll have a conversation about, but a debate is about bringing everything in and coming up with the best idea. Mm. Now, that's not allowed now, because if it doesn't fit in with the narrative...
Yeah, there's no grey areas anymore. It's got to be that or that.
Yes.
If you don't agree with that, man with a pair of tits, you're a right-wing extremist. There's no grey area, there's no discussion.
No, there isn't any grey area. You can't, but yeah, all these things that we're told are real are all theories, whether it's dinosaurs, whether it's Darwin, whether it's any of this stuff that we're having to listen to now, germ theory, they're all theories. Even terrain theory. I know a lot of people think terrain theories, but it's still a theory. You know,
it's funny you say that. In the Daily Mail, there's an advert, and it's what they've now, you've got to be a member now to read the juicy advert. I say juicy, they're all shite, but the stories that you'd be mildly interested in. Things about prostate tumors and the things like that. Why are so many young people having heart problems? That's locked, it's locked now, you can't see it.
That's one of them was the far right extremists, I think.
I mean, that's an article I'd want to read, just out of a fleeting. I'm not saying the Daily Mail's telling the truth, but just you can see the patterns when you look at these.
But I mean,
things, can't you? But one of them, Fatty, is would you fire a stranger's snot up your nose? So they're now discussing the terrain theory thing, aren't they?
Yeah,
because people are questioning it.
They know that loads of people
are asking questions.
Going back to the Spanish flu nonsense, that they actually tried that and it didn't work. And they actually tried it up horses' noses and pulled snot out of horses and all sorts of stuff. And obviously, they've had the odd nostrils, they've probably used yours, but they're using horses instead because they were smaller. But
because people are talking about this, they've obviously had to address it in a shit bullshit news article, haven't they?
I was chuckling to myself today when when you were in that pub at Christmas when we were doing that talk at Jonathan's.
Yeah.
That couple walked past you and said, "Is that Christian?" He said, "No, it can't be him. His nostrils are too small."
No, fatty. No, about three people said that to me.
Right.
It weren't just that couple. His nostrils can't be big enough. I don't know.
I wonder what they're expecting. Some sort of manhole cover.
I don't know, but I'm not going to say it because I don't like
even Mark, even Mark sent an email, didn't he?
Yeah.
And even Mark's in on it now.
But the fact of it is, and I'm not even, I don't even believe I'm going to even say this because I don't like getting involved in your nostril debate. Your nostrils are bigger than mine. That's it. That's why you always bring it up.
You've said it.
Yeah. Because his mum had an afro nose and his dad had a massive Jewish nose. Probably. Yeah,
don't say that, otherwise people will be saying... It's strange, because my missus, her dad, right, were in finance, and he got a visit from old Bill at this company, not to see him, but to ask him about a client. And he said, "Are you the guy they call John the Jew?"
Right. Was that his nickname?
Because he's got a big nose. They're not Jewish.
Was that a nickname for him?
Yeah, that were a nickname for him. And he said, "Yeah, but I'm not Jewish." Yeah, anyway, I don't know where that's going, but it's not going anywhere. The one interesting thing that's come up, we talk a lot about eugenics, and I was thinking, I'm going to do probably write something down about this, but I'll just have a quick... I was thinking, everything we talk about eugenics is always negative.
Yeah. Yeah?
Everything. But that's not true, because there's always going to be another side to it. Yeah, that's not me sticking up for any of these bastards, by the way, who are trying stuff on us, yeah? So I thought, right, so if you're a eugenicist, a generational eugenicist, yeah, why are you doing it? If you're Sir Julian Huxley, president of the Eugenics Society, so the reason you're doing it is because you want a superior human, don't you?
Also, there is a big difference between eugenics and depopulation. It's coupled together.
It is a spin-off from it, though, isn't it?
It's a spin-off, yeah. But yeah.
It's a bit like giving rabbits myxomatosis or going fox hunting. Yeah, it's getting rid of the deadwood.
Yeah, you've got the but then you've got the breeding of racehorses, for instance, haven't you? They don't kill them, do they?
No, they don't. They
cleverly breed them.
So there has to be another side to it, whether it's in a secret base that's buried and there's monsters, there's guys down there and women down there that can lift, I don't know, weights that you can't even imagine, and we never see any of this stuff.
A pair of fucking bat wings.
Yeah, that lift till 250. What was it, that Benjamin Button film, weren't it?
That, where it goes backwards.
Yeah, where it goes backwards. But anyway, there will be positive sides to this stuff. I noticed with Lyme disease, that you became hypersensitive to smell, so really hypersensitive, even though my sinus was shafted, I had a really hypersensitive sense of smell. I had a noise, hypersensitive to noise, sound, like I could hear, that type of thing. And you think to yourself, well, imagine if you were in army and you needed something, hypersensitive sense of smell would be very handy.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah?
Like it could have been an experiment gone wrong, basically.
Well, or gone right. And I've just got shit end of it.
No, I mean, like the Mark One end.
Yeah,
of it.
We look at it as though it's gone wrong because it's screwing us over. Mm. But somewhere down the line, there's probably a positive edge to it.
Early development of it.
Yeah, maybe even the side, how we're thinking at the moment, how the people in alternative world are thinking, hence why the fear, which we'll come on to in a bit, of the mainstream to clamp down on it by spending millions of pounds on something like Mariana Spring, for argument's sake, and launching campaigns against people who think for themselves. Maybe that even that's the upside. Maybe the upside is the awakening, that they've given some people, and they know there's going to be a downside to this because some people are going to think the way we do.
Well, one thing for sure is, going back to like the JFK times, they definitely want to put these people, folk like us and people listening to this, in the limelight or keep them in a box somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to know they are for whatever reason. And they want them out there. They want them to, like 9/11. Look at when 9/11 happened. And then I remember this, Michael Moore released that book. Right. Whatever you think of Michael Moore these days, but he released that book, Stupid White Men, which was basically, I mean, that was literally, I read it and I was fully into it. Mm. And I remember living in London at the time, everyone was reading that book. Yeah. And that was literally a book about the Bin Ladens being involved with the Bushes.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, it was conspiratorial. But it was conspiratorial to a point, but it was a mainstream book.
Isn't it weird, right?
Why did that come out? Why was everyone reading that? Why was that allowed?
Biden,
yeah,
with his son in bloody Ukraine.
Yes,
if you think about it, it's a similar sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. That wasn't a conspiracy. That we were told about Biden's son's laptop, whatever the fuck that meant.
Yeah.
You know, it was just another one of them. But what? Why? Why? What did it mean?
Yeah, why was it released that it were a crackhead and then covered up that it were a crackhead?
Exactly.
If they can hide JFK for whatever, 70 years, and then lock it away for official secrets, they can hide Hunter Biden's laptop, can't they?
But these, and then on the alien version of it, you've got Area 51.
Yeah.
I mean, people find out what I'm, and they're like, what do you think of Area 51? I said, not a lot, really. It's just whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? But then, you know what I mean? You've got these pockets into it, but it leads to nothing, does it?
No. I think going back to the eugenics thing, if you look at eugenics, the idea is that the people in power want to live forever, don't they? Mm. Maybe that's the people that the shadow people that Jerry talks about or the people that Dave were talking about. I mean, I don't know if these things are real, right? But the feeling I get, and I can't prove it, is that there's obviously something else or other entities in control of something, because a lot of this stuff is that nasty. These can't be humans that are doing this, because I'm a human and I don't think that way. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be something controlling these people. What it is, I don't know. Whatever it is, people call it the devil, whatever you want to call it, right? But there are other entities. I don't just think it's one thing. That's where I don't think it is. But I'm not saying I'm right either. I'm not saying I want to be right. I'm not interested in being right. But so eugenics, these people want to live forever for some reason. So there's a reason why they want to live forever. Because all of the, whether it's Botox to look young forever, whether it's living forever, they all want this longevity, don't they? Mm-hmm. And longevity as well. And longevity.
Because maybe they've been so evil that they're terrified of the judgment time. Maybe there's some truth in the judgment day that you have.
Or maybe it's just a giant energy drain of a big trauma basin that everybody's in. I mean, I do. So Lance and Andy had a guest on the other day from New Zealand. And he was saying that basically, if you think about it on a micro level, a cell, right? Free radicals attack cells and antioxidants protect cells. Mm. So if you look at it on a macro level, our level from outside, then NPCs are cells. They're being attacked by free radicals and we're the antioxidants trying to protect them. And I thought that were a very good explanation of what it could be. Anyway, so the eugenics thing, although everybody, we tend to be negative about it, and I'm not saying it isn't negative, by the way, because it is to us.
Well, it's control. It's a control mechanism, isn't it?
And I look at a lot of this stuff as some kind of quest, because I'll use vitamin C as an example, or any the nutrients. The same companies own the bad stuff and the good stuff. So for any person that's into our thing, that raises a massive question in his mind that, well, if that's poison, why wouldn't that be poison? If chlorine's poison, why ain't that poison? I don't know, an organic cucumber, for argument's sake. I've read stuff now that celery juice is bad for you, right?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't it be? Well, they can control everything, and they can... How many people do you know take vitamin C? How many people in your work would take it like it? Say I do. Yeah?
None. Zero.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is, might I know I'm extreme.
Some vitamins extreme. From fucking Holland and Barrett or something, maybe.
But what I'm trying to say is, so people don't take it in anger, do they? So no. Even though it's there and available and it's a massive industry, huge industry, right? People don't take it. They don't do it. Because they only do, we're reactive as humans, very reactive. We've been trained to be reactive, not proactive. So we only do things when, say, we're ill, or we only do financial things when we fucking spent too
much.
The
shit, or
we only mend this car when it's broken down.
We're very reactive
beings. Hence why what happened to us on 2020 was so easy, because we react to things.
But we, and I'm sure a lot of people listen to this, and maybe some not, obviously, but we were already down that hole. So our reaction was different to most people's. We were already told we were nutters. I've been told nuts by everyone forever.
Yeah, so for the last 30 years or whatever.
My reaction to them calling me a nutter, I didn't give a shit.
No, I didn't either. There was nothing there. That argument had been, long gone in my rearview mirror.
You can't say that, you're crazy. Oh, really? Again?
Right, again, yeah. But yeah, I mean,
but it was different. It was different because in that situation, I mean, I will admit a lot of the crazy conspiracy shit we used to talk about to people had no effect on their day to day life, really.
Yeah.
Whereas the COVID nonsense did, because they were actually going to do something to you, immediately, not 10 years down the line.
Looking at it now, 4 years away. What it reminded me of was weapons of mass destruction. We have to make a decision now because we can't wait. It's got to be now or it's too late. If we don't attack Saddam Hussein now, he's going to fire these 45-minute rockets at us that probably just, even if he had them, they'd probably just drop into the sea like a bloody like bonfire night firework.
Like a fucking pocket rocket.
Yeah. He's sat there surrounded by missiles with red buttons.
All fear and horror. Anytime. Yeah. And I was young then, and I remember saying, that is bollocks.
Yeah. And so that 2020 was exactly the same. And they're utilising this. The eugenics part of this is going back to what that guy was saying about antioxidants. And I've said this before. I've said this prior to 2020, actually. I'd written this down in one of my early podcasts that I did back in 2019, I think it were. Do you know when I first started doing them podcasts?
Yeah.
That I released them on my own. One of it were, and I couldn't get my head around it, but I knew what I was trying to say, was that the human body's been mapped out for war. And they're taking away anything that you can protect yourself with. Anything, whether it's diet.
Don't do that diet.
Yeah? So if you equate it to the Iraq war, which was very prevalent in my mind when I was thinking about it, is the main supply routes were attacked, so your digestive system or the food source.
Yeah.
The main arteries were attacked, so you...
Pound it. Missiles from the sea to pound your head. Get confused and distracted.
The communication links were bombed. So that's your nervous system. That's your, all these things are all the same process that you would do in war. Your sensory deprivation and things like this. And it's been achieved. It's been achieved over generations and with, I don't know, technology that they're utilizing now, et cetera, et cetera. And... it's. I wrote a few notes down. Actually, it was interesting that we were talking about some of the stuff. I'll go back up because I don't want to miss them. I want to update on there. A guy I mentioned, I think, in a podcast a week or so ago. I was driving through the local village where me and Chris were brought up, and everybody coming up to the talk in April will drive through that village at Outlane, and there was a guy collapsed in the road. And I'd heard nothing about it. And the lady in the flower shop.
Yeah, you weren't sure if it were a car accident. But you said
whatever it was. But when I were coming back, when I were coming back, there were two police cars there. They were sort of flagging people because it's a small village road. There were two ambulances there, and it were crammed. One of them were parked in somebody's drive, and it were And then I had an helicopter landed at side of me into a field where me and Chris used to play in this field.
And bear in mind, by the way, that's in that triangle of doom where I said
I know, exactly.
Nearly pillaged three times.
Yes.
Same place.
And where several people have been knocked off there. Anyway, apparently this chap, it's his third heart attack. He's 54-year-old. He comes from an area just above where that village is.
How did you find that?
Walking into the village. The florist new. Right. Well, obviously, these places is like centre of news, yeah, yeah, out there.
Florist knows everything.
Florist knows everything. So he collapsed in the street. I think, I don't know if it were in his car or he was walking.
But it was definitely there. I mean, we grew up there as entire lives. I've never seen a helicopter there.
But
I've never seen an ambulance there.
Well, an helicopter once landed in our field.
It did. Why?
Yeah. Because there was an accident on the motorway. That's totally different. Right. There was an accident on the motorway. It landed in our field. Scaring all sheep. But anyway, but what are we going to say? The reason they called the helicopter, right? And I think it comes from Wakefield, so it's quite a distance away. Yeah. And I think they cost 15 grand every call out, some ridiculous thing. Is because the ambulances didn't have defibrillators in. And the nearest defibrillator were up at the paper shop, which is about 300 yards away. And they must have a map of where all the defibs are. And it weren't on. I mean, it's been there 3-4 years that, you know, since all this stuff kicked off, they'll start fitting them. That's been there at least 2 years as that one outside that shop.
Why would they not have an ambulance?
Because we've mentioned it before. Well, that's what I thought. I thought, why haven't you got one in
an
ambulance?
You'd be better putting them in an ambulance than on the side of a fucking church wall, wouldn't you? Surely.
Well, I'd have thought the first place you need one is an ambulance, police car, fire engine.
I should have said effing church wall.
Why not? But anyway, yeah, so... And then my eldest were telling me that in his football team, so he's just going 30, but he's, this lad in his football team is about 34. He collapsed with a heart attack about a year ago. I don't know if we're playing football, but anyway. Then you were telling me a story about somebody in a pub.
Me?
No, this is a slightly different story.
Well, no, he was just one of those little bits of the tapestry where me and Lou went to a pub and I was talking to the old dear who runs it, and she just said, we're about roses, because she had some roses, pruning the roses, and she just said, yeah, well, you know, I had a garden guy who came around and did the garden, but I can't find another one. And he's been fighting cancer for 18 months. I don't think he's going to come back to work. You know, there's little stories. There's just more and more and more of them, isn't there? Yeah. Someone saying something like that.
The Matrix wallpaper.
Yeah, just like I'll refer back to in the summer, Mrs.'s mate, who's not a conspiracy theorist, thinks I'm insane. Just everyone's ill.
So do I.
Ill and dying around me.
Yeah.
What's going on? Like Lou's kicking me under the table after a spritzer. I'm like, I'm giving the throat cut sign, but I don't want to talk about this in front of you and your mates.
Yeah. Why are you asking me? Do you really want to know my theory?
Don't involve me in this conversation.
Danish Prime Minister, candidate, Søren Pape Poulsen, dies suddenly. And you sent me a news story about my 22-year-old has dementia, mother's agony, as cruel memory-robbing illness. Memory-robbing.
22 years old. That's not dementia, is it?
Yeah. Son has now the brain of a 70-year-old. But you haven't got the brain of a 70-year-old, because a lot of 70-year-olds can still remember their own name.
That's dementia rebranded, I think.
But how many of these people, right? I wrote some notes at the side. We were talking about this. How many of these people that are dying suddenly are wearing some kind of Apple Watch or a device? It's like them footballers. Them footballers wear GPS now in the back of the shirts, so they know how many. Yeah, they wear like a GPS thing.
For when it's on TV, when they're running around, kind of thing.
No. So when they come off, it maps how far they've run per game.
Right. Oh, that's probably where the technology came from, isn't it?
A lot of the targeting for the players now. In how well you've played or what you've done, it's how far you've run.
Right.
Well, just how the game's changing. But they're wearing GPS navigation type things in a vest. It's like in a box that's on them, like a dog would. But what I'm trying to say is...
And everyone's dreams to be a fucking professional footballer.
Footballer. I'm only saying while they're playing and training. I don't know whether they make them wear them at home.
What's that film where they fucking... Was it that old lady?
With a blow-up around the neck. I forgot what it was called, that.
Yeah. Wedlock, was it?
I don't know. Anyway, but how many of them are wearing Apple Watches?
Run faster, you fucker.
Yeah.
Running man. It's going to be
running man. Or, I've got 5G on the phone. I mean, you'll never find this information out. Are they next to a cell site? Have they been next to a cell site for long? Do they live next to a cell site?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Have they got them ear things in? You know, the Apple earbud things that people wear?
I wouldn't trust them for a second, would you?
No, not at all.
Imagine you're Frankenstein just with a bolt of lightning going through your head.
Yeah.
It's frightening your brain.
People have been asking me about George Galloway.
You told me about that, and I watched it. If I'm honest, right, I can't trust any politician. Right?
No.
But I watched that, and it was quite inspiring. Whether it's bollocks, I don't know. Whether he's going to... I mean, he'll be proved by his movements after this one, I suppose. But that bit where he was talking to that Sky news reporter was everything everyone wants to say to those people.
Yes.
But... I'm not totally...
But what I will say is, I've never heard him talk about 2020. Never heard him talk about global climate boiling change. Mm. Never even talk about all else apart from Palestine or the attacks on Muslims, which is fair enough, right? Mm. That he's got his thing there. But it's pretty one-dimensional if it is real. Yeah, and I don't know the guy, just like I don't know Andrew Bridgian or... a lot of these, or even Nurse Gladys, I don't know them. So I'm not going to comment on who or what they are.
I found what he did quite inspiring, though.
But when I watched that Sky guy, and I saw his face, that looked pretty real to me. But
it was nice.
Whether
it was
real
nice
or not, I don't know. It were real enough for Rishi Sunak to come out and do some kind of Prime Minister's podium thing.
Yeah.
Which were a weird...
Saying that he was dangerous and stuff.
Yeah, saying he was dangerous and that. Weird how the people that are dangerous are telling everybody that somebody else is dangerous. Even though... let's get it in perspective. He's an MP for Rochdale.
Yeah.
He's not being voted in as...
world that we wish for or whatever, that would spark a load of grassroots MPs to come out. I mean, I think the guy that came after him was a mechanic, and then Labour and Conservative came after that. Mm. If that happened nationally, and we could all start making his own decisions, it'd be fucking phenomenal. But
well,
I'm sorry, but I don't trust anything.
No, I don't trust
anything. but then we're all paranoid conspiracy
theorists. Well, they could say that, yeah, but it's like, let's just say for hypothetically that George Galloway is real, and what can he actually do in Rochdale, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, he could spark off a lot of other people to do the same thing.
If all he's interested in is Israel, and that's all he's using it, he's not going to do anything for Rochdale, is he? Because he's using it for a political voice against what the Israelis are doing to Palestine.
Well, maybe it's not
which
even
has got
that.
No, I mean, concept in Israel, in Rochdale, has it?
No, but I don't think it's even that far. I think people are disenfranchised by...
No, that's a different conversation. That's a different conversation. I agree with you there, by the way. But that's a slightly different conversation, isn't it? A conversation about... For instance, let's just say somebody runs independently, wins in my local area here, Kirklees, and they decide and say, right, Kirklees, I did some workings out and it brings in something like 250 million a year in council tax. So that's a lot of money. But it's set up to fail because that money for the next year has already been set to spend. So if somebody got in power, they've already lost a year. Instantly, and they're not going to change it in another year, and they're not going to change it in another year, and then by the time that comes around, there's another election, and so everything's set up to the point.
It's like a fucking hamster's wheel of bullshit.
Because in reality, if somebody says, right, Kirklees, the first question to me is, right, how do we feed everybody in Kirklees and give them food that they can afford? Right, how much spare land have we got in Kirklees with green fields that we can grow things in? Right, we've got...
Pon it all on the fuckers and just
200,000 acres, right. So, but what will happen is the media, the government will destroy them people.
Mm.
They'll put every ounce of Mariana Spring conspiracy
energy.
Land on them.
Yeah.
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 And destroy them.
Because it's all very simple to work out, really, isn't it? Say, for instance, you take George Galloway or you take someone, say, becomes the MP of Cambridge. Right. How much money have I got? What are the problems? Mm. Let's divvy it out. Throughout those problems.
Well, if you were running a business...
One of the problems is not an international fucking war with anybody.
No. If you're running a business, forget that he has to make money, right? Just put that to one side, a business at the minute. But if you were running a business or even a football team,
yeah,
you wouldn't go out hoping that your problems, you just ignore your problems, sweep them under the carpet, would you?
Yeah.
We'll just sweep them things under the carpet and
directly attack every problem.
Yeah.
How many homeless people are in Cambridge? How do we sort that out, first of all? Number one. One of the issues.
Well, yeah, there's all these issues, but again, you'd be open as well and say, "Look, we've got all these issues, people. Right?
We're trying to work our way around it. We don't really fucking know what we're doing.
You don't know what you're doing. But all these issues need resolving. We've only got 250 million. It's going to cost 300 million. Right? If you trusted the people that were running it, to do it right,
everyone would tip in.
Because they're giving to charities that are pissing it away and giving people 200 grand a year for fuck all, right? For nothing.
Yeah.
Imagine if that councillor got in and says, right, we've got loads of property being Kirklees Council. Everybody's entitled to have a 25 gram vitamin C drip.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Imagine that. Or I'm making that up, by the way, as I go along.
Yeah, yeah.
But imagine that...
One part of it equates to me, and I was talking about this with one of the fellas at work today. I remember seeing this clip, and it was about, and it was an old town. It was a bit of a joke now, and I might have mentioned this before, I don't know. But it was an old town in England, I think like Guildford Way, if I remember rightly. And every year they weighed the mayor. So every year they actually got out a pair of scales, and it was a bit of a gimmick and a bit of a joke of that little village. But they weighed the mayor. And if he weighed more than last year, he was out, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then you think of what that used to be in the old days was, if that mayor had put on weight for the year that he was in, he was ousted. Mm. So I'm sure he was allowed to put some weight on, but he weren't allowed to put, if he put excess weight on, that meant he were fucking feeding off the people. Yeah. So he'd be ousted. What I mean is, it sounds stupid and they made it into a bit of a gimmick and a joke and a clown show. But in reality, that's maybe what should happen with politicians. If they're in, not physical weight, but if they're putting on loads of, making loads of extra money, then it would be a clue that they're corrupt.
What they do now, Chris, they do a four-year stint, or they come in, they do a four-year stint.
And the end of it, they make a load of cash. Yeah. But what I mean is, they should be monitored for the entire period they're an MP or a Prime Minister or whatever, and after that, to decide whether they should be punished.
But then we're talking about communism. What I'm trying to say, there is a fine line to say that it's a difficult... That's why it never works, because it's too difficult to work the way it's been run.
Yeah, it needs changing. The whole thing needs fucking changing. Yeah.
There are always somebody better than somebody that's doing certain things, right? You're better than me at drawing, right, for argument's sake. Yeah. Yes. What I'm trying to say is there's always... People are always better, and it's what price you put on that skill set to be better.
The one problem I have with the political system, if you like, is, what's that guy called? Jeremy Hunt's going to go away tonight and he's going to think about the budget. What, that fucking psycho-eyed? He's got eyes like a psychopath.
Well, he's not going to think about the budget. He's going to think about...
he's been told what's been
making
what's
his sponsors happy.
Yeah. He doesn't go into a room to think about the budget. Richie Sunak didn't go into a room to think about the budget.
No.
They don't go into a room to think about fuck all. They're told what they're doing next.
Grant Schnapps goes into a room to think about, like we call him Grant Schnapps. He goes into a room to think about which persona he's going to use today. You sent me a video. I'm going to play it, actually. I'm going to find it now. I'll have a bit of a listen to this. It's quite a long video, so I'm not going to play it all. Where are we?
I don't remember sending you a video.
Didn't you send me that a video? I thought you sent me a video about population declining.
Ah, yes, I did, yeah. It was a BBC one, that's why I sent it to you, because it was a BBC one. I thought it was quite interesting how they're saying overpopulation, but the population's declining.
Well, it's another one of them videos, going back to us being...
It's quite a shocking decline as well.
Well, us being conspiracy nutters, right?
Yeah. They've talked about this for years.
For years, now, like now 10, 20 years, whatever. The population isn't increasing, it's actually declining. Decreasing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's in BBC News.
And then BBC News coming out and
like also
it's
fire. I saw a story saying NASA were going to start injecting, going to start spraying ice and stuff out the aeroplanes for climate change. Well,
right, not for Bacardi breezes.
We've been seeing them spraying shit out of the planes for ages.
Yeah,
but apparently that were a conspiracy. Now it's in the news.
Now it's called geoengineering.
Geoengineering.
Yeah. Yeah. But engineering, it's science, isn't it? we were going to Malta a few
actually,
years
put
ago.
Geo in there as well. Put geo or site. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bio, geo.
Bio, you know, geo. Eco,
yeah.
Solved.
Eco, yeah. Solved, didn't it? But we were going to Malta a few years ago, and my young'un, he had his iPad out, and he said, "Dad, look at that. Out a window, videoing this plane flying underneath us with massive clouds coming." He said, "They're chemtrails." How old will he be? 10? Something like that. So he's got it on his iPad. And I saw it the other day. I've totally forgotten about it. I need to get it out and
right.
Download. Yeah. I totally forgot about it. he videoed it out a plane window going past. Obviously, we're quite far down, you know what I mean? But
I wonder if you could see into the future and think, in the future, you'll be taking pictures of chemtrails with my little brother's head. My nephew's head, sorry. Yeah.
Let me play this for a bit. This is about birth rates dropping in South Korea. And the BBC reporter's a guy called Ross Atkins. And I haven't done a load of research on him, but it's interesting to see what these mouthpieces, where they all come from, what they're talking about.
Bunch of cunts.
For years, two things have been true. The world's population is increasing and its birth rate is falling. South Korea already had the world's lowest birth rate, but this week, new data showed it had fallen further. Japan also recorded a new low.
The decline of births is in a state of crisis. I believe we are at a time when we have to take urgent measures.
The birth rate is the average number of children that each woman has, and when birth rates are discussed, you'll see this number a lot, 2.1. This is the birth rate needed to maintain population levels. South Korea's not close. Last year, its rate was 0.72. Japan is at 1.26. To put this in context, the EU average is 1.53, and the UK is at 1.49, and that is a record low. In fact, many countries are now below 2.1.
Even countries with relatively high birth rates are often at half the birth rate of what they were. And the average person now lives in a country in the world that has a lower than replacement fertility rate.
And birth rates matter because they contribute to long-term changes in our populations and the consequences that follow. Low birth rates can cause populations to fall. Japan's is expected to decrease by 30% by 2070, South Korea's to halve by the end of the century. In some countries, including the UK, the situation is different. Populations are projected to increase, mainly because of immigration. But immigration can't counter all the impacts of a low birth rate.
There is no quick fix. There is no one fix to population decline or population aging. So birth rates affect population growth in the long run, whereas immigration can affect in the short run. But immigrants also age.
And as
that goes on for about 11 minutes. I'm not going to...
It's funny when you hear those professionals, that woman at the end there, she's saying fucking nothing, talking loud and saying nothing.
Yeah, but it's what out of...
What I mean is it's how they splice it together, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't know how they splice it together in her defence. She were actually saying that... What that guy there, that BBC mouthpiece, was saying, Ross Atkins, basically, two things are true. World population's rising, but birth rates are dropping.
I mean, what an upside down statement, confusion statement to make.
Exactly, because population can't rise and birth rates drop.
No,
because they're still hanging on to this that people are living longer, but people aren't living longer.
How about saying
now.
This? The population's the birth rate's dropping, and we've just trounced a load of fucking people as well. So it's definitely dropping.
Yeah, but the population isn't increasing. He said it. It's only increasing in this country because they're allowing immigrants in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the immigrants come from other countries. What's happening to their population? Because they're not in that country anymore.
Yeah. Well, they're the ones that were bombed. Every immigrant coming into this country, as much as everyone loves slagging off immigrants, it's because the country's been trounced by us.
Basically. Well, by Western corporations or military or whatever.
Every terrorist was created by us bombing their country.
Yeah.
Terrorists that don't exist.
Not just bombing their country, just taking over. It could be empire as well taking over. I mean, a lot of these countries, say like Albania, were taken over. I think that were Italy. And then you've got other countries, say like Morocco, that were taken over by France and place. So you've got a lot of it were empire as well. But they've still been trounced.
But what you realise is this stuff's just gone on for over and over again over different generations. Yeah. That's what you realise, isn't it?
Yes.
Displacement of people, putting them in certain areas, moving them around.
Like Palestine, Chris. Is it the age difference? Ed did something from Out of Light. He's got a new YouTube channel called Mirror World now, by the way. Anybody wanting to look at Ed from the Out of Light stuff? Well, it wasn't the Outer Light. It was the Darker Light before, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That got turned off. Anyway, there's a massive gap. There's no... I don't think there were any young men there, as in, like, men between 20. We're all children and old people or something like that. So most of the people there weren't of a fighting age type of thing, or the men weren't. And that's what's happening now, apart from they've wiped out a load of OAPs in this country. The longevity rate is dropping. Going back to that eugenics thing, they've obviously come to a point where they don't need people to live longer now. That hasn't worked. If it hasn't worked, because people aren't living long enough, so
even in, like, when people used to talk about this in the conspiratorial world, the replacement rate from 2.1 down to 1.49, that's what that news guy
said. In this
country,
yeah.
I mean, that is lower than even conspiracy nut jobs used to talk about.
Well, it's just dropping all the time, Chris. It's a bit like the autism thing, isn't it? Where 10 years ago, or whenever it was when Del Bigtree were on, it were 1 in 50. Now it's 1 in 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
This is how rapid.
But the question is never brought up, why is there a rise in autism?
No, because this country's population is going to increase, Chris. So it doesn't matter.
Because what about that doctor, S.J. Beard? I know no one can see this, but that doctor had purple hair.
Yes. But again, these are the people we're taking advice from now. These are the scientists, aren't they?
That was a professional.
These are the scientists who...
Thrown up in front of your face with purple hair.
Yeah. But this, Ross Atkins, again, you might know him, Chris, he was at Jesus College, Cambridge.
Right.
His career began in South Africa, where he researched crime prevention and human rights for the Centre of Policy Studies. And I've mentioned that a lot. He also wrote for the Sunday Independent in South Africa and worked as a DJ in Johannesburg. The Centre for Policy Studies, again, is a right-wing think tank and advocacy group in the UK. It was set up and co-founded by Margaret Thatcher, Alfred Sherman, and Sir Keith Baron Keith Joseph. Now, I've mentioned Baron Keith Joseph before because he was named after he died by a Tory whistleblower who named him as... This whistleblower used to procure boys for him and another Tory under Margaret Thatcher's reign. And he was in Teddy Heath's government as well.
Right.
Yeah.
A few alarm bells there, fight.
Yeah. So the Centre... I'm not saying, obviously, this Ross Atkins is involved in that, but he's working for the Centre of Policy Studies, which is a... Or he did, which is a centre-right think tank.
What I would say from my observation of him talking, he doesn't look like a newsreader.
No.
He's delivering something, isn't he? He's not just reading the fucking news.
No. And if you think about, going back to how these things are controlled, that Keith Joseph, obviously, I don't know if it were true what this guy came out, this whistleblower, but that's how people are controlled. We've seen that with that, what they call him, Tim Fortescue. People might come to us with a problem with boys.
Like you said before, Fatty, how many prime ministers have run this country and not... And I'm not slagging off gay people here, and not slightly effeminate.
Yeah, well, Tony Blair was. Obviously, Keir Ted Starmer. Heath. Keir Starmer is. And he's the future Prime Minister. We've got, I think Cameron was, as in slightly effeminate. Rishi Sunak definitely is. That doesn't mean to say there's anything wrong, wrong with being gay, but there is something wrong if they're pretending not to be, I think. In a position of power.
You're lying about your position, aren't you?
And then you got Obama in America, etc.
I wouldn't give a shit if we had a gay president.
I wouldn't care either. No, not in the slightest. It can't be any worse than these tosses we've got in now.
No, New Year's Eve would definitely be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, gay folks know to party.
This guy who set up the policy studies, right, owned massive construction company, Bovis. That's who this family owned. Bovis Construction. They got all the government contracts, didn't they?
Right, yeah. That's what it's all about, dishing out the money. Yeah.
You'd be happy to know, Chris, right? I'm going to go down a slightly different angle now, that Mariana Spring's got a new book out, and it's called Among the Trolls by Mariana Spring. Into the cesspit of online hatred.
Who's going to buy that?
Do you know, that was my first thought. Available at all charity shops in a week's time for 50 pence.
No, but I mean...
Unread.
Who's interested in that?
I mean, we're coming from our
point probably more interested in it than people who hate conspiracy theories.
I know.
I wonder if she mentions how much everyone hates her. Everyone hates me. Oh.
Yeah. I know.
Well, it does, into the cesspit of online hatred. So
yeah, into the cesspit. So, I mean, if you go around, I mean, there are, obviously, there's nutters in every arena, if you want to call it that, and very angry people.
But why does she get a voice to talk about people slagging her off?
Well, if you go and prod people so much, I mean, I have to give the Light newspaper that there, when she interviewed him, how calm and collected he was in the interview. Richard never got that opportunity, did he?
No.
And he still hadn't got that opportunity. When that the interview with the guy who was taking Richard to court, he were on GMTV being
why didn't they get Richard
by Garraway
on GMTV?
Yes, if this is fair reporting, why wouldn't Richard Diall on GMTV?
Yeah. Giving his point of view.
It's
fucking unbelievable when you think about it, when you actually think about it, when you stop for a second and think about it.
I know.
And you think that the media isn't compromised, you've got to be off your fucking tits.
I'd say more than compromised.
More than paid for, controlled.
We were talking in that Huxley one we recorded the other day about if you flick back to YouTube now, right, going back when I remember you sending me that podcast, I mentioned it in that recording of Crow. I listened to it last night, actually. when they started, they said, right, first hour we're going to put it on YouTube. So it was 2018, I looked at when it was.
Right.
And they were saying, we're going to talk about sharp sticks. And they were talking about jabs.
Hang on, sorry, right? This is before COVID. This is
2018.
About vaccination.
Vaccines, with Wayne McCrory, right?
Yeah, okay.
Sharp sticks, we're going to call it, so we're going to talk in code words.
I remember it, yeah.
And about 15 minutes in, Crow goes, basically, bollocks to this. He didn't say that, obviously, but I'm not been going down this route. I feel like a child, haven't I? Blah, blah, blah. Because people were getting turned off by questioning jabs back then.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, isn't it, when you think about it? That you can't say things.
Wayne McCrory said, right, the reason Wayne's into it, right?
His child was damaged.
His child was damaged right before. He said, it doesn't matter what anybody says to me. And he could hear the passion in his voice, which he would have. My child was perfectly well. He had a jab, and then he wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, we thought we were going to lose him. Right. That's his exact words, yeah?
I mean, if that doesn't make you...
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I've said this before, but when my nipple was born 6 years ago, you know, after listening to conspiracy versions and obviously the mainstream, and one of them was, if you're an anti-vaxxer, I remember this one, if you're an anti-vaxxer, because I remember Mrs. She showed it to me, if you're an anti-vaxxer, you're worse than a paedophile. That was one of the stories. But I listened to parents who...
Written by Jay Saville.
who'd got jib-jab damaged kids. And that was all I was interested in listening to, because no one else, nothing else mattered. I don't care what doctor or whoever you are. When you listen to a parent saying that they see their kid go listless because they've just had a jib-jab, I'm sorry, that's who I'm going with.
Yeah.
And I listened to dozens of them. They were heart-wrenching, horrible. Mm. But anyway.
Well, I mean, I've got a video of a girl who had the HPV. Starting doing it at my youngin's school this next week or so.
Also, now the HPV fight is for neck cancer in boys. So even though it was for ovarian cancer, I think it was.
Yeah,
it's also available at your local whatever shit shop you can get it from for a rare neck cancer that boys might get as well.
Right, obviously. Anyway, we're interested in just looking at this guy who wrote this piece in The Guardian, obviously a supporting piece for Mariana Spring. It was called John Norton of The Guardian. He's an Irish academic, journalist and author. He's a senior research fellow at the Centre for Research in the Arts, Social Sciences and Humanities at Cambridge University. You might know him. The director of the Press Fellowship Programme at Wolfson College, Cambridge, Emeritus Professor at the Public Understanding and Technology at the British Open University, Adjunct Professor at University College Cork in Ireland, and a technology columnist of the London Observer newspaper. He was educated at Cork College and went to Cambridge, as you do. He now lives and works in Cambridge. In collaboration with Professor Sir Richard Evans and David Runciman, Norton is a principal investigator on a 5-year research project on conspiracy and democracy.
Right, yeah. 5 years of research into what his nut jobs are up to and how it affects their bullshit democracy.
Yeah, funded by the Leverhulme Trust. I'll come on to that in a sec. So I thought, I wonder who these characters are. So, all right, they didn't write this piece for Mariana Spring, but he's in the same world as her and he's writing an article for her. So he's hardly going to be questioning what she's doing, is he? I mean, Sir Richard John Evans is a British historian, rewriter of history, of 19th and 20th century Europe with a focus on Germany. He's the author of 18 books, including 3 volumes, The Third Reich Trilogy, 2003 to 2008. Evans was Regius Professor of History at the University of Cambridge from 2008 until his retirement in 2014, and President of Cambridge Wolfson College from 2010 to 2017. He was Provost at Gresham College, you might have known Chris Whitty, in London since 2014. Evans was appointed Knight Bachelor for his services to scholarship in 2012. Then we've got David Walter Runciman, or should I call him 4th Viscount Runciman of Doxford, an English academic and podcaster who teaches politics and history at Cambridge, where he is Professor of Politics. His father was Gary Runciman, Viscount Runciman also, and he was a political sociologist and academic, and his mother was Ruth Runciman, former chair of the UK Mental Health Commission, founder of Prison Reform Trust, and former chair of the National AIDS Trust. His father, mother, and paternal grandfather and great-father all attended Cambridge.
I'm fucking surrounded.
Yes, you're surrounded. Interestingly, Sir James Cochrane Stevenson Runciman, his relation, what I came across him when I was doing some Huxley research. We mentioned him in one of the podcasts about Orwell, Chris. Right. He was a King's Scholar at Eton. And he was an exact contemporary. He was a contemporary and close friend of George Orwell. And while there, they were both studied French under Aldous Huxley.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk that? The Leverhulme Trust, you'll know who this is in a second, is a large grant-making organisation. So these are the ones funding, what was it, Conspiracy and Democracy, or Democracy and Conspiracy, whatever it is, in the UK. It was established in 1925 under the will of the first Viscount Leverhulme, with the instruction that its resources should be used to support scholarships for the purposes of research and education, with annual funding of some £100 million. £100 million to chuck it.
Just for scholarships and purposes of research and education.
The Trust is amongst the largest of all subject providers of research funding in the UK. Have you ever heard of it, Chris?
No.
No, neither have I. The Victorian businessman and entrepreneur William Hesketh Lever, Viscount Leverhulme, manufactured and marketed Sunlight Soap. He controlled large concessionary areas of the Congo. Umbongo, umbongo, to drink it to the Congo. We're down deep in the middle of the jungle, and apricot, an apricot, an apple, and a mango. Got it, umbongo.
You know, you remember all of it.
I do, yeah. Anyway, on his death, Lord Leverhulme left a proportion of his interest in the company he co-founded, Lever Brothers, in trust for specific beneficiaries. Lever Brothers became a cornerstone of Unilever, which now turns over 60 billion euros a year. That was last year. And has assets of about 75 billion. And it's probably valued at about that as well. Yeah. And he's a funder of the World Economic Forum. Shock and horror. Yeah. So The Guardian says, an unflinching, this is on Spring's work. She's now, what do they call her now? A correspondent. She's a misinformation or a disinformation correspondent. They used to call her an expert, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
They've changed it. They've rebranded her. Mariana Springs.
She's not that expert anymore.
No. an unflinching explanation of conspiracy theories and their knock-on effects also makes heroic attempts to understand the people behind them. Heroic. Heroic, Chris.
Isn't it weird that, I never thought about this, but that paper's called The Guardian. The Guardian.
Yeah, no,
the Guardian.
Yeah.
Never thought about it before.
Yeah, I have.
Guardian of bullshit. Yeah, yeah.
So a book is Guardian on Amazon there, right? A book's on Amazon. Among there's the Trolls, My Journey Through Conspiracy Land.
Cartoony cover as well, just to make it look like it's light and breezy.
Yeah. Yeah.
She could have a theme tune, it'd be a xylophone.
Yeah, it would, yeah. But I looked at, there's three reviews under there. One of them, this review was full of unbelievable nonsense, Ian Heslop.
Do you know what? I used to like Ian Heslop as well, you know, when he was on that News For You, whatever, and he's the guy.
Isn't that why he's there, Chris?
Well, and also Private Eye? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's constantly, we've talked about him before,
being sued.
Constantly sued.
Any business that was sued as much as him
wouldn't be functioning. Yeah.
No.
And also, when you think of that Private Eye, right, it's almost in like old newspaper format, isn't it? Like, we can't quite afford to make a magazine.
Yeah.
But it's in old newspaper format because we're so fucking in with
we're so underground. We're so underground.
We're constantly being sued and we're underground.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. Ian is lots of fucking.
Yeah. Another review here. A tour de force, Jeremy Vine.
Oh, I'm in there then. If Jeremy Vine's promoting it, I'm there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another fucking knobhead. He cycles around London, right, with a camera. Strapped to his head, waiting for trouble. He's that guy.
He's that guy.
What are you doing pulling it in? Just get away, you knobhead. He's that guy.
Yeah. An excellent piece of investigative journalism. You won't know this piece. I didn't know it was. Julia Ebner. Telegraph.
You can guess, can't you? I'm guessing you wouldn't have to look at her for very long to realise it.
And the guy that we're interviewing, John Norton, said, a compelling guide of dystopian underworld. Of a dystopian underworld.
Where the dystopian underworld fan?
Yeah, but he's getting paid from the Unilever Foundation to look into democracy and conspiracies. So I thought I'll have a look at Ian Heslop. When he was 5 years old, he's family began to travel around the world because his father's job was a civil engineer.
Yeah.
During his infant years, Heslop lived in Nigeria, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Hong Kong.
Empire.
While in Saudi Arabia, Heslop has said he possibly went to school with Osama bin Laden.
When he was 10 years old, he grew a pair of testicles under his chin.
And he kept them forever. And he also went to Oxford, and he met his... cartoonist, I've forgotten the guy's name now, who does all the drawings in the thing. So there is another guy attached to that. I forget his name. I didn't want to go into too much detail.
Private Eye is the ultimate controlled opposition.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I read a thing where it said he got fined 600,000. Then he went back to court and it got reduced to 60,000. You know, it's like so one court fines him 600,000, it gets reduced to 60,000.
And when you look at the jokes in Private Eye, they are basically like, you know, those... like
them university male... rags, what they call them, university rags.
Oh, no, also, you know the jokes, the little jokes you see in newspapers where they're kind of taking the piss out of politicians, but they're not really going anywhere, you know what I mean?
Right.
That is, it's just a magazine full of
It's a cul-de-sac, isn't it? I read the Times because I'm into business. I read TV.
I read Private Eye, I'm
edgy, yeah.
I fell for all that bullshit because I used to watch Have I Got News For You?
Yeah, Chris, this is a big operation, man, right? As we're going to show in a sec. But Jeremy Vine as well, just one bit of trivia there. Mark will like this one. His brother is actor and writer and presenter and comedian, Tim Vine. You know that guy that does all them sharp one-liners?
I can't actually visualise him.
You know who he was. As soon as you goggle him, you'll know who he is. He is actually quite funny.
Well, he will be.
Yeah.
The thing is, the people they put in these positions, Fatty, are talented, without a doubt. Yeah. You know?
Anyway, the one that interested me with this lady that I've never heard of. Yeah, you know what I mean, don't you? Yeah.
Is that his brother?
Yeah, that's his brother. That's Jeremy Vine's brother.
But I would say he's mainstream, though. He's mainstream.
Oh, 100% mainstream. Yeah.
Mainstream, fake comedy.
Yeah. Julia Ebner. Julia Ebner, this lady who did this review. Interesting how these people are put there. An Austrian researcher and author based in London. She's written the books, The Rage, The Vicious Circle of Islamist and Far-Right Extremism.
Evil Muslim bastards.
Yeah, and another book, Going Dark, the Secret Social Lives of Extremists and Going Mainstream. How extremists are taking over. Ebner holds a DPhil from the University of Oxford, where else? Where she is currently a postdoctoral research fellow at the Kaliva Center for Evolution and Human Science at the Magdalen College. And she holds an MSc in International History at the London School of Economics. Where else? Between 2015 and 2017, she worked as a senior researcher at the counter-extremism organization, Quilliam. Quilliam was established by Edda Sain, Majid Nawaz, and Rashad Zaman Ali, three former members of an Islamist group called Hizbut Tahir. Hussein, was one of the founders of this Quilliam, left in 2011 to join the Council on Foreign Relations.
what the fuck? You've got three Muslim guys, right? Anyway. So, what did they do then?
Join the ISD's core activities range from traditional research, just traditional research output, and policy advice to the facilitation of youth and practitioner networks and the development of counter-narrative and technological tools to combat extremism. More recently, the ISD, or LSD, has researched misinformation and disinformation involving climate change, global climate warming, climate change,
terrorism,
public health,
climate change,
election integrity, and conspiracy networks such as QAnon. Yeah. ISD partners with a number of Western governments, including agencies in Canada, Norway, Germany, UK, New Zealand, Australia, the United States, European Commission. It also works on funded projects with technology companies such as Google, Microsoft, Meta, and the Global Internet Forum to Counter Terrorism. Other institutional partners include the Global Disinformation Index, the Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society, Institute Montigny, the British Council, which is a £2 billion operation to push British arts. It's just another spin-off from the Foreign Office, i.e. MI6, that Chris Whitty's dad worked for at one point and apparently got shot in Greece because they mistook him for an MI6 agent.
In his Ford Escort,
because he bought it from a Greek Athens auto trader from an ex-MI6 agent. The German Marshall Fund, the University of Ontario Institute of Technology, and the International Centre for Counterterrorism. Funding for the ISD comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Media Network, and Open Society Foundation, or George Soros. It's got a budget of £7 million a year and 120 staff.
£7 million? That's fuck all.
But when you think about it, it sounds no, but when there's there's hundreds of these places like that. Hmm. These are spin-off organisations, aren't they? So Mariah Spring said she's the BBC reporter, disinformation reporter. She's a reporter now, not an expert. Mariana Spring, my approach to fear is to try to make sense of it. Threats of abuse litter my social media feeds. They infect my everyday life. Good. Sometimes the people behind the messages try to find me in person.
Good.
This seems to be the price of venturing into the world of conspiracy theories, hate, and algorithms. And it turns out I am far from alone. In 2020, I became the BBC's first disinformation and social media correspondent. Standard. Used to be an expert. Now I'm a correspondent.
Despondent.
And since then, I've been trying to understand conspiracy land. Where does this vitriol come from? What drives otherwise reasonable people to believe that almost everything, from the worst attacks and wars to global health crises and climate change, is a hoax designed to kill or control millions of us? In among the trolls, I tell the first-hand stories of the trolls and the trolled. Those behind the information battle that threatens not just the way society works, but also some of the qualities that we value most about being human. Respect, fairness, tolerance,
help
integrity,
me.
And kindness.
Fucking hell. It's mad, isn't it? I mean, we are in upside-down world, fam. Upside-down world.
Yes.
She's basically moaning that no one's listening to her. That's what that sounds like to me.
Do you know what? One of my things on here was, how many people are actually listening to this?
No right? one. No one cares. I'm going to listen to, what was it called? What was that show? I thought I wrote it down. I didn't write it down.
What, the one I played before?
Yeah.
I'm just going to play it again now.
All right, sorry.
So this, if you remember, probably about a year ago, they wheeled out a guy called something like Brent, something or other he was called, David Brent. But anyway, he's going to tell his name in a second. And they wheeled him out saying, he used to be a conspiracy theorist, but now he ain't. And he's got another guest on there with him who I saw the anger flutter in Chris's eyes when he saw him on it. But, you know, we can't be surprised anymore that these people are turning and changing. But I'm going to play this. It's an intro to their YouTube channel. That hasn't been turned off, by the way.
Just as a mild insight.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Some Dare Call It Conspiracy. I am Brent Lee.
And I'm Neil Sanders.
Now, our involvement in conspiracy culture goes back nearly 20 years, and we'd like to take you on a guided tour of the rabbit hole.
Question everything. That's what the alternative media say. But does that always include the theory itself? Well, here at Some Dare Call It Conspiracy, we're going to question absolutely everything. We're going to lay out the theory. We're going to see who the main promoters are. We're going to examine the evidence and we're going to appraise its validity. And you might even be a little bit entertained along the way.
So if you want to hear our unique perspective, search for Some Dare Call It Conspiracy on your favorite podcast app.
That's pretty amazing for us, fact, because we nearly, should we talk about that?
Nearly. This were in about October 2021.
Yeah.
Somebody emailed me and said, why don't you get Neil Sanders on?
Yeah.
So I emailed him because I thought, didn't think anything of it.
Well, going backwards, we'd listen to, I mean, I'm pretty sure you've got some Neil Sanders books about mind control.
Yeah.
I'd listened to numerous podcasts and interviews with him, especially on Richard Hall's channel. But then we went to talk to him, and he basically emailed and said, have you looked at my website lately?
No. Well, he did.
Is that right?
But somebody said, a friend of ours said, so I emailed him, booked him on, right?
Yeah.
Then I thought, I'll have a look at his website. Yeah. He looked at his website, the mind control books, looked at his other ones, not into that Cambridge Analytica and all that other stuff.
I didn't really get
that Manson one, that were nonsense as well. And so I'm thinking, well, his work's going downhill. Then I saw this was 2021 at the height of what we were going through. And I'm thinking, he's coming out and saying, agreeing with what the government's doing. I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. That's like a total opposite of what he used to talk about.
Well, I think you rang me and you said, have you looked at his website lately? And I said, no. And then I got home and I had a look and I'm like,
all right, we've reached the end of part one. If you want to join us in part two, we'll see you there. Bye.
There's your name. Bye.
Of the ocean's